Let's open up our Bibles, Malachi chapter 4, last minor prophet book before the New Testament. Just want to welcome all those that are joining us online as well. Let's get to Malachi. There we go there. Yep. And so I've been journeying, and as if you've been kind of hanging out with the church for a little while, you've been noticing I've been picking a few stories from the minor prophets in the Old Testament. That's where I've been reading my devotions every morning. And so I just finished with this last chapter in Malachi, and I thought, whoa, there's just something there we also want to resonate with for a little bit. So let's read the whole chapter of Malachi chapter 4. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evildoer will be stubble. And on that day that is coming, will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses and the decrees, the laws I gave him at Horeb for all of Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. There's a lot going on in that scripture, and the most beautiful thing, I love how God orchestrates these things, is I worked on this message all week. I was here late Saturday night, and then I was watching a video, and so many of us were able to kind of come to the church last week and shoot a video for Pastor Ben, a word of encouragement for Pastor Ben, a prayer for Pastor Ben, who's been our pastor. He's just been unwell, so we've been praying for him. And as I watched the video for the last thing I did before I went home, after everything, I noticed that somebody spoke this piece of scripture in that video. And so I thought, isn't God just at work on so many levels, orchestrating so much stuff? Even what my wife read, I was doing a water baptism teaching this morning, and she read a scripture that, you know, was in line with that. I just love how God is just speaking the same thing. You can come here today, you might be somewhere else tomorrow, and it's going to be a similar message because God's speaking a similar thing to each one of us, and he uses all of us to communicate his word. So I'm excited to just share some ideas with you. I only want to look at the first two verses, verse 1 and verse 2. There's so much going on in there that we want to spend some time there. The very first verse, though, is a little bit hard to hear and hard to read. When we preach the gospel, we preach the whole gospel, and we don't shy away from all the truth. And so sometimes we have to hear things that are a bit hard to hear, and sometimes it might come across like, hellfire and brimstone, pastor, you know, like, just preach it like that. Well, there's also the other parts of it too, right? We need to have a good balance of the entire gospel. So when we look at the first verse, it is a little bit hard to hear. But it is truth. God wrote it. We need to hear that. But then we're going to get to verse 2. And verse 2 is going to be delightful and wonderful, and we'll land well. So verse 1, the first thing it says, surely the day is coming. And so this day is being prophesied that surely one day Christ will come a second time. And we can see this all throughout Scripture. The day of the Lord, those are the kind of titles or the terminology that we would bump into all the time reading God's word. So we see, surely this day is going to come. And it's prophetically reminding us of a story that happened in the Old Testament when God's people were leaving Egypt. They were headed to the promised land, and along the way during the day, there was a cloud that they could follow. And then at nighttime, there was fire that they could follow. So much so that when they came to the Red Sea, they were like, oh my gosh, we don't have a boat. There's a bazillion people here. How are we getting across this Red Sea? We obviously know the story. God opens up the Red Sea. They walk across. But during that time when they were standing there looking at the Red Sea and they're looking at the people that were pursuing them to kill them, the Lord used that cloud or that pillar of fire to keep them from pursuing them. So you would see on one side of the cloud or the pillar of fire was the enemy, was the people that wanted to kill them. But they were on the dark side of that. And where the people were that stood on the other side of that cloud, they could see the Red Sea. It was the light side, the side where God was. And so we see so clearly here, surely the day will come one day when their darkness will be revealed, and the people of light will be able to follow the Lord home, his second coming. This day is coming. And so we see clearly here that God is speaking to that. When that day comes, there'll be a lot of things happening. The second thing it refers to here, surely that day will come, it will burn like a furnace. And so I just want to quote another piece of scripture. So it just goes along with this theme in Psalm 21. So Psalm 21, verse 9 says this, at the time of your appearing, Jesus comes a second time, you will make them like a fiery furnace. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up, and his fire will consume them. And so there is a group of people, and I used to live this way for a lot of years of my life, just in unbelief, didn't want to follow the Lord. And what I picture is that scripture often uses like a yoke. God's yoke is easy. His burden is light. So we're, in a sense, partnered, or we're yoked with, like two animals would be yoked together, and they would do something. And God is saying, would you be yoked to me? Would you follow me? Because if you don't follow my commands, if you don't follow my ways, as hard as that is to hear, truthfully, God will not accept them. And that's just the scriptures. For those that are just too proud that they don't want to bow a knee to Jesus Christ, fire will come one day when he comes a second time. It's like the firefighters that are out there right now. Some young lady, you saw that on the news, right? Lost her life trying to protect us. I don't know where, again, it was Prince George or somewhere in that area. You know, she's out there trying to help and protect, and she unfortunately never came home. That's terrible, isn't it? And so we're trying to put the fires out. But God is saying, when I come a second time, the fire's going to start and it will never stop. There's a fire that will just continue to burn forever and ever. And that's really hard to hear. Let's continue to read. On all the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble. Those that are arrogant and evil will be like stubble, being like those that are fueling this furnace, this fire. That's just horrible to hear. That's just the scripture. That's the word of God. But in the same context, don't ever forget that the fire brings purification. So for those of us that know the Lord, that put our trust in Jesus, they're saying that the gold and the silver and the precious stones that are put into the fire will actually survive the fire. They'll be able to come out of the fire, like we read about in the Old Testament, where there's a story of people going into a fiery furnace, and they walk out of the fiery furnace because God is with them. God is for them. And so we pick up a story here in 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. I know that's difficult to hear. I'm not judging anybody when we read this. This is just the word of God, and I want you to know the truth of God's word. That's all we're presenting here. We love you. We're so grateful for you. God's got a wonderful plan for you, but this is what will happen in the end times. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, we jump in. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day, we see that again, surely the day is coming in Malachi 1, the day, Paul's referring it to the Corinthians, get ready for this day. It will bring to light. It will be revealed with fire. How will we know that it's the end times? Well, fire will come, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss, for he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Flames cannot kill us. They will only reveal our heart in the things that we did. If we go back to Isaiah, also somebody that would prophesy about the end times, Isaiah 27, verse 4 and 5. This is God. Listen to God. I'm not angry. If only there were thorns confronting me, I would march out against them in battle. I would set them all on fire. Instead of the anger, instead of all of that, let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. It refers to it a second time. When you see it written a second time, it's really important to take notice. Yes, let me make peace with you. If we take refuge, if we want to make peace with God, God is right there. He doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to judge us. He wants us to have fellowship with him. That's the desire of his heart. But he's saying a time will come when the end is near, and things will look like what we're reading about. The very last point of point one, I really want to get to point two now. And it's kind of quiet in here, a little bit like, whoa, man, I haven't heard pastor preach like this in a long time. This is pretty hard. But verse one, the rest of it, not a root or a branch shall be left to them. when Jesus, when we read in the New Testament, Jesus is interacting with Pharisees or religious leaders who are really twisting and manipulating and causing false doctrine to be taught, Jesus says some pretty harsh things to them. He wants to correct them. He's saying, what you're saying is not right. Because what he's saying is not a root or a branch will be left. When Jesus comes a second time, and all of the false teaching, all of the manipulation will all be laid to rest. It'll be burnt up right down to the root of the problem, right down to the, you know, dysfunction of the problem. God is saying, I will bring clarification to everything so that there will be nothing that is misinterpreted or misjudged. There's no root or branch that will survive that. That's actually a good thing to hear, is that the truth and only the truth will be left. There'll be no other excuses, no other angles, no other ways to present it, just God's perfect truth. Isn't that just wonderful to think about? Let's get to verse 2. For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Ooh, so much going on there. Three things going on. Son of Righteousness, healing in his wings, and we're going to leap like calves. That's exciting news. So as we think about, as we're reading here, we're in Malachi chapter 4. Now, chronologically, it doesn't kind of just follow a story, and Malachi is the last person that speaks before the New Testament, but it's the last thing that's written in the New Testament before we get to Matthew. And so there's this emphasis on something that we need to be aware of. So let's look and see what happens about God and when he speaks to Son of Righteousness, healing in his wings. And we see, what was the third one again? Leaping like calves. And so we see that. But don't ever forget, though, that the promises of God are like, I'm just going to claim all the promises of God for my life. I don't really know, I don't pray, I don't really read the word, but I know the promises of God, and so I just want to receive those. But you're taking scripture out of context, actually, because look what it says prior to that. But for you who revere my name, then these things will happen. Do we really revere God? Do we really trust God? Do we really honor God? Do we really follow God? Then these kind of things will come along with it. So here we go. First things first, healing in his wings. I want to just start there. And it says that John the Baptist was really prophesying that Jesus would come and that this light is going to come one day. And when this light comes, it's going to bring healing in his wings. And we pick this story up in Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke. It says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of their tender mercy for God, by which the rising sun will come from heaven. Do we see that so clearly? That the rising sun that we just referred to in Malachi will come from heaven. Jesus coming a second time to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide their feet into the path of peace. We're just trying to live in a difficult world that's dark and troubling, and God is saying, I'm going to give you a light in that place. And especially when I come, I'm going to make sure that it's revealed, that there's darkness, but I am the light, and the light's going to guide you into peace, into all truth. And I think sometimes in this world, we focus on, well, my physical body is not well. I need healing, Father. I need to be touched by God. And so often we forget about the idea that God wants to touch your whole body. He wants to bring healing to all parts of you, to your mind, to your emotions, to all of your purposes. He wants to reveal and heal all those things. And so we sometimes forget about those things. We think, well, we don't need to deal with that today. And we look at like the grass right now in our yards where you can't water it. You know, you're like, you fertilize and you weeded that thing like nobody's business. And then the grass, you can't water. It's dying. And there's this part of you that's dying and dead. And God is saying, when I come back, I will water that area. And it will come back. That grass is going to come back when that water restriction lifts in Jesus' name. My grass is like crispy. You don't even want to play in the stuff, right? It's so terrible. But God is saying, it's not dead. It just needs the light. And we can refer to the light as water, in a sense. The Holy Spirit's like water. A fresh touch from the Holy Spirit would bring about those things. If we look into Isaiah, another prophetic kind of message around this idea of the last day, it says in Isaiah 60, verse 20, "Your sun will never set again, and the moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end." See, this pain, this darkness, this dysfunction, this world, that, you know, there's just parts of it that it will be dealt with when he comes. Because I kind of want to get to heaven. I don't want to rush it. I have a family. I do love them. I want to be with them. But I just know that there is a day coming when all of my headaches, all of my thyroid issues, all of my back pain, all of the wrestling that goes on in my mind about just, you know, the things that I've done in life, all those things will come to an end in Jesus' name. Isn't that exciting to think about? I really pray that that day will come sooner than later, but let's be patient as we wait for that day to come. This third one is just exciting to me. I think about it in so many different ways when we think about, you will go out and leap like calves released from a stall. If we think about God watering things on the earth, we think about, okay, the sun brings life to the earth, doesn't it? If we think about when spring comes around, the sun just brings natural growth. And I remember living in the north, I thinking, this sun is never going to come. This grass is never going to grow. And then I go to Vancouver, and it's like lush, you know, just tropical amazingness. And so when the sun finally arrives somewhere, something that seems dead, like seeds and grass, will come to life. So that's exciting for us to think about. But God's saying, don't be like that only, because grass and flowers and things that grow quickly and, you know, with thin stalks, they wither quickly as well. And so we don't want to be like that. We want to be like a calf, it's saying. And so up north, we had this great experience when it was just freezing out all the time. It was minus a jillion, and it was just, you know, everything, wind factor, your face was going to just break off. Because if it's minus 20, you know, your nose freezes. At minus 30, your eyes, like the water in your eyes freeze. At minus 40, you feel like your chest, you know, you feel like you're going to lose your chest. So you kind of know how cold it is out. And minus 50, the car just won't start. It's like, you're dreaming. Like, we're just not going anywhere today. But people would buy flowers in the north, and they would put them in their car, and they'd run in to get groceries, or they would, you know, do something, they'd forget about it, and then they'd come in the house, hey, look at the flowers, and the wife's like, wow, these are beautiful, great, and they put them in the vase, and as soon as it thawed, just dead, right? Because it just can't handle that kind of heat, so it's very weak, and so God is saying, don't be weak and on milk like that forever. Grow up like a calf is young, but it's going to grow up into something wonderful. Something that's strong, that won't be, you know, so easily taken out. And what was the calf used for back then? It had two purposes. Either way, it was going to die, to be honest with you. It was not going to go good for this poor calf. But it was either going to be used at God's altar for the service of the kingdom, or the service of the temple, or the service of the church, or it was going to end up on your dinner table. Either way, it was going. And so for you and I, are we at a place where we serve God and serve his kingdom and his purposes? And are we at a place where when people interact with you and come to your house, they feel blessed? They feel like you've fed them spiritually, not just food. Do they feel like encouraged and replenished when they interact with you in this world? That's what it's referring to. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? There's this beautiful animal that I have here. I've got a picture of it this morning. I've got this little baby bunny in my house. His name is Pancake. It's a rabbit. I'm feeding it because, you know, we want it. No, not that kind of like. But what rabbits do, and I didn't realize this when we got the rabbit, we were trying to find an animal for a house, and so we went all over the place. We stuck cats and dogs in our face, and me and a few of us in our household would just sneeze and cry and, you know, allergies out the wazoo. All of a sudden, we got a bunny in the house. Nothing. You know, it's not hypoallergenic bunny. It just none of us are allergic to this bunny. So I got a bunny. And just saying, you know, why I got a bunny too. Not like, this pastor's getting weirder and weirder the more I get to know him, right? And so we got this bunny in our house. But what I don't realize with the bunny, when a bunny's happy, he does something that they call a binky. I'm like, a binky? The heck is that, man? And so he'll just kind of just playing around, racing around. All of a sudden he'll jump and do this kind of twist in the thing. But when he jumps really high, he does that when he's happy, when he's excited. You've been to my house, a few of you, and when you see him do that, oh, don't put that picture up. We're going to get in trouble. I didn't ask yet. Those are my daughters with the bunny. I'm so sorry. I was going to ask your permission. We're okay. Are we still on talking terms? We're okay. Yeah, okay, good. Excellent. I just haven't had time to talk to my kids about, like, can I use your photo on Sunday? You know, because I don't like to drag them into the stories unless I get their permission. But look how excited they are. But if you see this bunny do a binky, I don't care how bad, you know, how bad your day is, how negative you're feeling, you see this bunny do a binky, you're like, that was pretty cool. It just does something inside of you, right? And so it's the same for you and I. When we experience, as it's saying here, when we experience the Son of Righteousness, we experience God's healing in our life. Like calves that are released, they just run and jump. That brings excitement and joy to us. Do we have that kind of excitement and joy in our lives? Because it's not perfect. We all know that. We know there's struggles. We know that there's health issues. We know that there's mental things going on. But you've got Jesus. You can get in a line. Let's just create a line here. I'm taking the first ticket. I got problems. I need help. You know, sign me up, Jack. I get it. But in the midst of that, everybody has problems. But not everybody has Jesus. If you have Jesus, you should be full of joy. If you have Jesus, you should do flipping binkies for crying out loud, man. I'd like to see some of us. I'm going to hurt my back if I do a binky. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's excitement in that. The Old Testament finishes with this thought. It's like the last words being spoken here. You should have this excitement inside of you. Not just for yourself, but for others, for the kingdom's sake. Oh, I come to church. Oh, church. This church is I'm exhausted. Like, oh, these people that keep coming to my house. Oh, it's just, you know. Oh, yeah. No, you should be excited about that. Oh, somebody's coming over. Let's just speak into their lives. Let's be a blessing to them. Let's pray for them. You know, sometimes we have birthday parties at our house, and, you know, lots of the kids that come over, they don't know the Lord. Say, guys, we pray in our house before we eat. And they're like, well, that's kind of weird, but okay, cool. Like, whatever it looks like, just you want to be a blessing. You want to be an encouragement to people. So let's just flip over just for a second, because I really got to help you understand that when we read that Old Testament, it's the truth of what will happen when Jesus comes a second time. But often we just stay there. We think, oh, God, you know, he's just going to set everything on fire. I'm hooped. If I sin before the day he comes, I'm in trouble. We start going down these rabbit trails. It's just so unscriptural, because here's what the Word of God says. I don't want to just give you a story. I want to give you scripture. Look at this. Let's just flip over. Like, there's, you know, Malachi 4, and then we just, a couple blank pages, Matthew chapter 1. Woo, look at that. And so we read through Matthew chapter 1. At this point in Scripture, and we use the word like God was silent for a lot of years, you know, 400 years-ish. Like, things were still happening, but we don't have anything written of what was happening. It's like Jesus' life. You know, Jesus was born. We see him as a preteen, and then we see him at 30 doing his ministry. Some other things happened in there. We're just, you know, we don't have any written account of what happened there. So we pick up in Matthew after a lot of years of what we felt like God was kind of being quiet. We see that Jesus shows up on this scene. It's a time in this area of the world, Palestine, where the Roman authority had rule. They had Roman soldiers. And God's people lived under Rome and Roman soldiers. And so that brought them some peace, because if you're under an army that's butt-kicking, they just were a nice, like, oh, we feel safe that, you know, these Roman soldiers will protect us. But at the same time, though, when Jesus showed up, is that under that authority, though, there was oppression. There was slavery. There was injustice. There was immorality going on. So sometimes we put trust in our government, the ones that are over us. But then they do things that are so ungodly, and we have to live under that, and we have to try and thrive under that, and we have to try and respect that. And so Jesus shows up right into that scene. This is like the world that you and I live in right now. It's no different. It's been like that all throughout history. Until Jesus comes a second time, it will be like this. I hate to say that. It's going to be difficult. There'll be times that we want to run away. And in the midst of all of that chaos, we see God at work and God using people. And if I'm the writer of the Bible and I'm trying to represent God and Jesus, man, I would look at, make it like, oh, it would just be nice. It'd be clean. It would be like, all these perfect people did this thing, and then Jesus came, happy baby Jesus, you know, born in a nice temple or something, you know, gold, everything. But that's not the Bible. That's not truth. What we see in Scripture is like this. We see out of the 46 people, I don't want to read it because they're tongue-twisting. I don't know Greek and Hebrew well enough to say some of these names, but it says so-and-so begot so-and-so, the father of so-and-so, all the way from Jesus' complete bloodline. We see these names. And if you were to take one name and then go back to the Old Testament and find them and read their story, you would find people like this, which is just so brilliant. I just love it. We would find people like heroes of faith. We'd find just some people that are just like hitting home runs. You're like, well, of course Jesus is after that bloodline. Look at that guy. Guy's awesome, right? Just like buff, you know. We would also find right next to that story, super shady characters. Like, well, like, I don't know if like I want, you know, like in your story, in your blood history, like the first thing, oh, nice to meet you. How's your family? Like, I'll tell you about the good ones. The other ones we're, you know, still working on. I don't know. We don't even talk to them anymore. We see some very ordinary people, just regular folk doing their business, just going around, just, you know, pretty even keeled. We see those kind of people in the story. We see people that do evil, like really disgusting and evil things. And God uses those people in his bloodline. So when you and I interact with the Word of God and we're challenged by it, we see that if God can use a whole gamut of people, God could use me. Because you might be a pretty ordinary person. You know, not too many hardships, good family, brilliant. You might be the kind of people that were like, man, I had it so rough. It was evil. And God is saying, I can use anybody and anybody that wants to follow me. I can use them. Isn't that just a great thought? Isn't that just so wonderful? And God wants to use you. He wants to use me to accomplish his will. And even if we blow it, God can still redeem it and use it and make a story out of it, a testimony. Isn't that just a great thought? So the day is coming. But when the Son of Righteousness, he'll bring healing for you and I. And we'll all rejoice and celebrate like a bunny rabbit doing a binky together. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Because I don't know what calves do when they get excited. I just know they jump around, and I don't know the terminology for that. But I know what a rabbit does. So anyways, I hope that encourages you, that you're challenged by God's word. You're like, whoa, that seems like a harsh day coming. But you're also encouraged by God's word, that he loves you and he wants to use you. And there's nothing that you can do or say that would discredit you or disqualify you or anything in your past that would, you know, put you on a trajectory that would lead you anywhere but close to Christ. And so put your trust in him. You need Jesus in your life. You desperately need God in your life. You cannot do this on your own. I've tried it for 23 years. It doesn't work. You need Christ. He's the answer. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, as hard as it is to hear sometimes. Father, my heart breaks for those that don't know you. My heart yearns for those that don't know you. I want, as Jesus and God wants, every person to know him. And so I pray today, Father, for those listening online, for those that are here in the service, if there's anything that, any wall, any reminder of history, any stumbling block, whatever that happens to be, Father, in Jesus' name, I want to ask that you would remove that right now. Father, for those hearts like mine for so many years, just felt like I can't trust you. Everybody I've trusted has hurt me. I can't trust another person. Father, would you take that wall down as well so that they could put their trust in Jesus, that Jesus loves them and Jesus cares for them. And Jesus wants to move in and set up camp in their heart, in their life. So thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for allowing us to wrestle through your word together. Bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.